Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said few people need voice lessons to sing their own praise. We're happy to have the privilege of studying with you today. We're glad that you're listening to our Bible Meditations program. We want to get back now to our study, and we're talking about the prophet number 401. Now, the reason we title him that way is because 400 prophets agreed to tell the king of Israel and the king of Judah that they ought to go do battle and that they would be victorious. But there was one prophet, a man named Micaiah, that did not go along with the majority. In fact, he stood by himself when he pointed out the fact that the king would be killed when they did battle. Well, I believe that the conviction and courage of this man ought to be emulated by preachers today. We need to learn to stand up for what we believe is right. We also need to believe that the Lord is the standard of right and wrong, and so what we say in religion must be governed by what the Lord has said. Keeping that in mind, we talked about the matter of speaking the Lord's will about his church. The Lord did not establish any denomination. No denominations existed when the Lord built his church, and men and women today are a part of religious bodies sometimes that have human heads, human laws, human titles that are applied. Certainly, they're denominational bodies, but that's not what the Lord said he was going to build. Also, note the fact that we need to speak up about acceptable worship. We have the idea in our world today that anything a person does in worship pleases God. And so we have people doing a number of different things that you don't even read about in your Bible, with the idea, well, God will be happy with it regardless, because it's offered as worship to him, and so anything we do in worship will please God. On an occasion in John chapter 4, when Jesus came to the well of Jacob, and you remember here is the time that he was thirsty, and he asked in regard to drink, and a woman was there, and Jesus began a discussion with her in regard to the matter of worship. She pointed out that she was a Samaritan, and her fathers worshipped in the mountain. And the Jews said, Jerusalem is where men ought to worship. In essence, she's asking the question, which is right, is it the worship of the Jews, or is it the worship of the Samaritans? Well, the Lord answered her question by saying, the hour cometh and now is, when the Father seeketh those to worship him who will worship in spirit and in truth. Well, what he was saying was, there is not that necessity of where we worship, but it must be how we worship. All right? He says we must worship in spirit and in truth. John 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I believe the Bible is its own best commentary. So when I lay one passage in the Bible up against another passage, sometimes there is a very enlightening look or view that comes into focus. Well, look at this passage. Worship must be in spirit and in truth, and lay it alongside a statement in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. Now here's the statement. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, if I were to ask you, what is vain worship? You would say, well, the word vain means it's empty. It doesn't mean anything. Well, there is that kind of worship then in our world today, vain worship. Jesus said it must be in spirit and in truth to meet the approval of God. Well, what would be involved in worshiping God in spirit? Notice he said these people draw near with their mouth. They're saying the right things. Their mouth is being used to praise the God of heaven. But, he says, their heart isn't in it. They're not doing that from the heart, they're doing it from their mouth. It might be well just now to point out to you that the Bible heart is not the blood pump. We have a mistaken idea in religion today that the human blood pump somehow or other plays part in religious activity, and we worship God from our blood pump. Well, our blood pump keeps our body going, but the Bible heart is the part of man that thinks and understands and loves and appreciates. Paul says you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Does that mean you had a correct beating as far as your blood pump is concerned? No, he's not talking about the blood pump. He's talking about someone who intellectually has weighed the evidence and made a decision. He obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine that was delivered. That's the sixth chapter, the book of Romans, verses 16 through 18. So the point is that our worship to please God must come from the heart. Could a person go through a worship period, say the right words, and still not be worshiping God as God wants him to do it? And the answer is yes. He could say the words because perhaps he's memorized the words. He could say the words because, well, those are words that he knows should be said, but he's thinking about something else. His mind is somewhere else. As a result of it, the worship doesn't please God. God wants us to worship him in spirit. That is, we think about the things that we're saying. We sing songs of praise to God. Do you think about praising God while you're doing that? It must come from your heart then. And you must think about the things that you're doing in worship in order for that worship to be pleasing to your Father in heaven. But the other side of the issue was that it must be in truth. Now John 17:17 identifies what truth is. Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. The word of God then is truth. If I worship according to the word, if I worship in truth, it will be those things that are revealed in the Word of God. Did the Lord give to us instruction in regard to what we ought to do in our worship to him? The answer is yes. He tells us what pleases him. Do you know, I might guess about what would please a person and miss it a country mile. I may have no idea what it is that pleases people round about me. But the question isn't, do I guess about what pleases God? The question is, am I doing what God said did please him? The Bible teaches very plainly what God wants us to be doing in our worship. Look at the second chapter, the book of Acts, and verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Actually, there are four things mentioned there, and those are all things that are done in worship unto God. The only thing that is not specifically mentioned in that passage is the idea of singing. That passage, along with passages in the Bible that indicate that we are to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord, indicate the things that please God, things that are done in our worship to him that are in truth. Now, the Lord willing, tomorrow, I'd like for you to look with me at some of the things that we do in our worship that pleases God, because we can find in the Word of God that that's what God said He wanted us to be doing. Remember the prophet who said, "I have to speak what the Lord tells me to say." Now, I'm not saying that the Lord directs us directly today. I'm saying the Lord gives to us His Word, which tells us what He wants us to say and what He wants us to do. Please listen tomorrow, and we'll study again. In the meantime, remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.